All right, question number three. Well, I like this. This is fun. Question number three. Turn to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you think at the surface of that, that was just a real simple, sweet little old verse that says if you confess your sins, God will just forgive them and blot them out and everything will be okie-dokie. But you wouldn't believe how much trouble that verse has caused and how misunderstood it is and how misapplied it is. Because of that verse, which says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, there's a thing that has grown up in the church that says, what if we don't confess our sins? It says, if we confess them, He's faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse us. Meaning that if you don't confess them, they're not cleansed and they're not forgiven. Right? Now, that's the way people are teaching the thing, which is nonsense. And what they do is they say, well, if you have unconfessed sin, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm not going to die and go to hell no matter what. Amen. I am eternally secure. I am on my way to glory. Now, there's a couple of things we need to look at in this verse. And a couple of them are pretty easy and straightforward and easy to grasp. Some of it you have to know some Bible to get. So let's do the hard one first. You cannot apply 1 John 1:9 doctrinally to a Christian. You say, why not? Because it's in the wrong side of Hebrews. Now, that Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are what's called dispensationalists. Now, we're not hyper-dispensationalists or ultra-dispensationalists. We don't run around drawing little lines and say God did something from there to here, but He can't do it from now to there. And, you know, we don't do that. But I do believe that at different times, for different reasons, for different people, God did things in a different way. For example, God doesn't do things today like He did in the Old Testament. And God's not going to do things in the tribulation like He does them now. And anybody that ever read their Bible knows that the things in the millennium are going to be different than they are today. See? Well, that's four dispensations. Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation, and millennium. And so you have to look and see who's talking, what are they talking about, when are they talking about. And if you get those three, four questions answered, it helps you to understand the verse. Now, the truth is that the New Testament Pauline doctrine, church age doctrine, goes from Romans to Hebrews. Hebrews is a transitional book from Christianity to Judaism. It's preparation for the tribulation. From Hebrews forward in your Bible, all those things over there have to do with the tribulation period. And so they have a different doctrinal application. 1 John 1:9 is talking to somebody that has sinned in the tribulation period. And since the Holy Spirit departs planet Earth as an indwelling and keeping force at the rapture of the church, people in the tribulation can lose their salvation. What keeps you saved? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise under the redemption of the purchased possession, right? He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Talking about the Antichrist. So when the church goes, the Holy Spirit goes, He takes the church with Him, there's no Holy Spirit left on this earth to seal anybody. How do you get born again? By the Holy Spirit. You're quickened by the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will be gone. How will a person get born again in the tribulation? There's no new birth in the tribulation. Which means what? That everybody in the tribulation is saved probationally. If they endure to the end, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is talking about the tribulation and the kingdom. if they endure, they're saved. That's the reason Matthew, when it's talking about salvation over there, it said, except those days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. There ain't a word in there about a man's soul. There's not a word in there about a man's spirit. Because they're not getting saved. Because the Holy Spirit's not here to do the job. Amen. When you got saved, you were quickened by the Spirit and baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, which is a spiritual organism. And when the church goes out, the Holy Spirit goes with him. That can't possibly happen anymore. So, doctrinally speaking, 1 John 1:9, which is after Hebrews, and which applies to people in the tribulation period, does not apply doctrinally to you. Now, that's the doctrinal thing. Let's look at it from a practical point of view. Okay? Practically speaking, how does the verse work? Well, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, when you got saved, God washed you and cleansed you from all sin. Right? Isn't that right? When you got saved, God forgave all your sins. And then He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Why did He do that? So that your soul, could never have sin ascribed to it again. Now, your body is a whole different thing. But your soul is never going to be a sinful thing again. It can't be. Let me show you why. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Now you need to turn over and read that. Sometimes if I quote it, you don't get the full impact. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 7 and 8. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. See, past tense. And whose sins are covered. It's already done. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, when you get saved, God cleanses you and quickens you, baptizes you, and seals you. All that happens in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. But when God seals you, from that instant forward, God will not impute sin to your soul. It's sealed. I don't care what you've done after you got saved. If God looks at your soul, He sees it as snow white as it was the instant you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, your body, that's a different thing. Let me show you. And the Bible makes a terrible distinction between the body and the soul. Now, take your Bible and look at 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Watch. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Is your body born of God? Or was your soul and spirit quickened by God? When you're born again, is that a spiritual birth or a fleshly birth? Well, the Gospel of John said, that which is born of water, see, there are two births, and then that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, you had two births. You had a water birth when you were conceived in your mother's womb. You were in that fluid, and when you came into this world, the water broke and you came down the birth canal. You had a water birth. And then when you got saved, you had a spiritual birth. You were born again by the Spirit of God. The part that got born again cannot sin. Why? It's sealed. It doesn't touch the flesh. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says that you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, and that your soul and your flesh aren't together anymore. They've been cut loose. No matter what your body does, your soul is undefiled. That's the reason the Bible said we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be Christ dwells in you. See? If you're saved, you're not in the flesh anymore. Your soul been cut loose. You're free. Amen. Everybody understand that? Look, let me explain it to you. I need three volunteers. Brian, Kristen, and Manny. Come here. Come on. Time's running. Let's go. Stand right there. Nope, come over here. Right here. Right there. Back up right there against Nana. You're dead. Stand still. This is her spirit, and that's her soul, and this is her body. And when she's born, this thing is born dead. You're born dead in trespasses and sin, right? You're spiritually dead at birth. When Adam sinned, he died spiritually. He didn't die physically for 900 years, but he died spiritually. So this part of you is born dead. That's the reason it has to be born again, has to be quickened. This part right here, the soul, this is where your personality and all of that, this is the real you, is inside that body, and then this is the flesh. Now, they're all stuck together like this, so that when the flesh is defiled, this is defiled. Okay? Whatever this does is attributed to that, because they're one unit. Now, when you get saved, here's what's happened. The spirit is quickened and made alive. And the soul is circumcised, that is, cut loose from the flesh. Colossians chapter 2, 14 through 16. Okay? Now, and there's the body. Now, as a saved person, we have a living spirit, a separated and sealed soul, and a body that can still sin. Now, Nana goes out and does something wicked as the devil, as usual. The body has sinned, and God is going to punish the body and collect payment for that sin from the flesh. But what about this thing here? It's not defiled anymore. Why? It's not attached to it. It's been cut loose, and then it was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise so that it can't be defiled. That's the reason you're safe. You're secure. Say, all right, y'all sit in. Thanks. Now, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So if after you got saved, if God charged one sin to your soul, it'd have to die and go to hell, which he's not going to do. But he's got you separated, circumcised, and sealed so that you can't sin as far as your soul is concerned. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans 8:10 says, but the body is death because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Your spirit is righteous because God imputes righteousness to it when you get saved. He gave you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But the body is death because of sin, because you sin every day, probably every hour or so. See? And if God took the sins that are committed in the body and attached them to the soul, you'd have to die and go to hell. So he doesn't do that, which makes you eternally secure. So the body is going to die because of its sin, and the soul is going to be saved because it's righteous. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, says that we are going to give an account for the deeds done in the body. When you go to the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going, you are never going to be interrogated about sin. It is never going to be mentioned. As far as God's concerned, there is no such thing as unconfessed sin. He paid for all your sin, past, present, and future, all done. Then he sealed you so that your soul could not be defiled with sin, so you get home to glory. And so when you get up to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. The deeds, the works you did, not the sins you committed. Sin in the life of a Christian is a settled and finished matter. I've already answered for all the sin I'm ever going to answer for. You say, well, preacher, what if you go out here and do dirty things and bad things and wicked things? The body is death because of sin. God lets sin reap its harvest. Now listen, what does the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is death. And the practice of sin destroys the body. When you go out and sin, God lets sin take its natural course in your flesh, and it'll destroy you. A fellow died today, 53 years old, over there in that rehab center. He died a very premature death, 53 years old, I think he was. Why? Because he has destroyed his body with booze and dope. He's just reaping the natural outcome. All right, now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, you need to look at that verse sometimes. It says, putting off the body of the flesh of these sins. According to Colossians 2:11, sins are attributed to the flesh for a saved person. Never to his spirit, never to his soul. When you get home to glory, you're going to give an account of whether you were a good steward and the good works you did and the deeds you did and all that, and you get rewards for good service and you lose rewards for bad service. But sin is never the question. If you had to answer for sin, I'll tell you where you'd be. You'd be in hell. Amen? All right. We got time for another question? How much time we got left?